Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 6th day of May, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Kolf, and it's been quite a week, certainly revealing to the extreme, at least for those with eyes to see. So tonight, we're basically going to talk about an all-out assault on everything that's left of the Bill of Rights and what it means. The so-called Supreme Court has evidently been considering doing something, or actually undoing something, which obviously never should have been done in the first place. And that's reversing one of the worst decisions since Dred Scott, called Roe v. Wade. Now, mind you, they haven't actually done it. They were only talking about it. And remember, in post-constitutional America, that now is a crime, especially if you're a peon, don't get to wear a black robe and decide what the Constitution should have said instead of what was actually written. But clearly, we've reached the point now where even if you have the black robe, certain speech is forbidden, as are certain thoughts. And that, too, of course, speaks volumes. And honestly, folks, it's the satanic hysteria, like they were going to eliminate sacrifices to Molech, that really struck me this week. And I'll begin with what looks to your host, at least, like the most rational coverage, courtesy of left-leaning but admittedly honest journalist Glenn Greenwald in his Substack, who wrote that on Monday night, Politico published what certainly appears to be a genuine draft decision by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito that would overturn the court's 1973 decision in Roe v. Wade. Alito's draft ruling would decide the pending case of Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, which concerns the constitutionality of a 2018 Mississippi law that bans abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, except in the case of medical emergency or severe fetal abnormalities. And given existing Supreme Court precedents, says Greenwald, that abortion can only be restricted after fetal viability, Mississippi's ban on abortions after the 15th week, the point at which the fetus is not yet deemed viable, is, he says, constitutionally dubious. And on that score, he's actually just plain wrong. The Constitution never had anything to do with it. This is about a conflict with what's called precedent, not the Constitution. Now, the trouble, folks, is that the Constitution never, ever once uses the word abortion, not to mention a whole bunch of other words like marriage or health or education that the central government never actually had any constitutional authority to deal with anyway. But what Glenn says next is actually more accurate. To uphold Mississippi's law, as six of the nine justices reportedly wish to do, the court must either find that the law is consistent with existing abortion precedent, or acknowledge that it conflicts with that existing precedent, and then overrule that precedent on the ground that it was wrongly decided, which seems to be the real issue here, folks, because that's the case. Glenn Greenwald goes on to say that Alito's draft is written as a majority opinion, suggesting that at least five of the court's justices, a majority, voted after oral arguments in Dobbs to overrule Roe on the ground that it was, quote, egregiously wrong from the start and, quote, deeply damaging. In an extremely rare event for the court, an unknown person with unknown motives, although we can take a pretty good guess, leaked the draft opinion to Politico, which then, says Greenwald, justifiably published it. A subsequent leak to CNN on Monday night claimed that the five justices in favor of overruling Roe were, in fact, Alito, Bush 41 appointee Clarence Thomas, and three Trump appointees, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett. While Chief Justice Roberts, appointed by Bush 43, is prepared to uphold the constitutionality of Mississippi's abortion law, well, at least until he realizes that he's still eminently blackmailable, your host can't help but wonder, without actually overruling Roe. Greenwald then continues, evidently correctly, to say that draft rulings and even justices' votes can sometimes change in the period between the initial vote after oral arguments and the issuance of the final decision. So, depending upon whom you choose to believe, this leak is either, and by the way, folks, your host can't help but lean toward this one, for reasons I'll get to very shortly, either the work of a leftist justice or clerk, more likely, designed to engender political pressure on the justices so that at least one abandons their intention to overrule Roe, or maybe it came from a conservative justice or clerk designed to make it very difficult for one of those justices in the majority to switch sides. Now, there's another aspect to this, too. I saw stories saying, hey, even while it's still likely that there's going to be an overwhelming rejection of leftist policies come the midterm elections, this is likely to reduce the right's overwhelming landslide. And whether that's true or not, folks, it resonated with me because, well, obviously, the election rigging is clearly still in place. But don't forget, the left still has to set it up properly and pre-sell the coming con job. And among other things, that means they'll push this really hard so they can say, see, this is why the Republicans didn't take back the House and the Senate, as was so evidently almost certainly going to happen. And pay no attention to that election rigging behind the curtain. But back to Greenwald. Whatever the leaker's motives, he writes, a decision to overrule this 49-year-old precedent, one of the most controversial, to put it mildly, in the court's history, would be one of the most significant judicial decisions issued in decades. And the reaction to this leak, just like the reaction to the initial constitutional abomination, Roe, back in 1973, was intense and strident and will likely only escalate once the ruling is formally issued. And on that score, he's almost certainly correct. Because that's pretty clearly the plan, folks. And I'll read Glenn Greenwald's next paragraph, too, even though I'm going to find some fault with it. But at least it's a, jumping-off point. Every time there's a controversy, he says, regarding a Supreme Court ruling, the same set of radical fallacies emerges regarding the role of the court, the Constitution, and how the American Republic, and at least he got that right, is designed to function. Each time the court invalidates a democratically elected law on the ground that it violates a constitutional guarantee, as did happen in Roe, those who favor the invalidated law proclaim that something undemocratic has transpired, that it's a form of judicial tyranny for the, quote, five unelected judges to overturn the will of the majority. Conversely, when the court refuses to invalidate a democratically elected law, those who regard that law as pernicious, as an attack on fundamental rights, accuse the court of failing to protect vulnerable individuals. Well, he left out a big key here. How about when it simply overrules the Constitution itself and either creates something out of whole cloth, and usually in that case, in direct violation of the principles of the Declaration of Independence, your host notes, or ignores something like, well, shall not be infringed or Congress shall make no law that's actually right there in genuine print. Now, before I give Glenn Greenwald the rest of his due, and to his credit, he mostly gets it right, and I can guarantee you, folks, you listeners will understand the mistakes when we get there. I want to break for a bit more of the story itself and, of course, the controversy. Here's a headline from the Daily Mail that nails part of that. Biden says, as if anybody actually cared, and who wrote his lines for him anyway, Biden says a pending Roe v. Wade would be radical and could impact, gay marriage. Faux president, and I put that word in there admittedly, demands Congress make abortion the law of the land. What? I thought the Supreme Court already did. As Schumer and Pelosi, it says, blame, well, who else? Trump. And if you thought you'd heard the shrill left shriek before, folks, hey, they really squeal like stuck pigs after this one. The Biden Fuhrer said on Tuesday the White House, quote, would be ready when any ruling is issued. They'll have their pen at hand, no doubt. Obviously, the Supreme Court is only really supreme when it jerks hard left. And he did manage to read his lines correctly when it comes to the pending election fraud, urging voters to elect more pro-choice senators in November, after moderate Democrat Senator Joe Manchin voted with Republicans to kill an attempt to federalize abortion rights back in March. And as we'll get to in a minute, a whole bunch of knee-jerk leftists, like the occasional Cortex and others, have called for Roe v. Wade to be codified into what now passes for law as protesters ascended on the High Court in Washington, District of Criminal Swamp. Meanwhile, some of the other useful idiots masquerading as senators are demanding an investigation into the reported leak. Mitch McConnell wants whoever it is to face criminal charges. And no doubt that's intended to distract people from the bigger issue here. But don't worry, folks. We'll talk about it. And Chief Justice John Roberts, who seemed furious, has announced an investigation into the source of that Supreme Court leak as well. So, with all of that on the table, let's be honest here, pretty much right up front. If you intend to kill a couple of 100 million actual Americans, and after they're dead, you can certainly take their stuff, and that's why it's good to bring in so many invaders right now. Well, if you intend to kill that many people, if you intend to inject them, to change their DNA, if you intend to silence them, if you intend to disarm them, if you intend to literally make sure that they can't fight back before you do the injection and finish the killing, then it's vitally important that you be able to keep killing them before they can speak, before they can walk, before they can even raise their little hands up and say no, or anything else for that matter. In other words, let me be just as clear as I can here. The final solution that Hitler tried and failed to implement, but that the Biden regime and its communist Chinese and Obama puppet masters are doing a damn sight better job at completing, you'd better continue to build on the successes of being able to kill millions and millions of people who never had a voice to begin with. Then you can silence the rest of them, disarm them, and continue what already amounts to the biggest genocide in human history. I guess you could argue this one really is for all the marbles, one way or another. And honestly, folks, if people can't see it here and what the stakes are and what's been accomplished and what's intended, they'll continue to be silenced, then poisoned, disarmed, and starved, and die in their massive ignorance. So at this point, we'll continue with the shrieking, and there was no shortage of that. For example, courtesy of the Gateway Pundit, the speaker for the traitors, nasty nutcase Nancy Pelosi, and Senator Chuckie Schumer, anti-constitutionalist extraordinaire, issued a joint statement attacking the pending Supreme Court majority over that leaked draft of the decision overturning Roe v. Wade, which called out Trump justices and accused them, imagine this, of lying to the Senate, ripping up the Constitution, good grief, and, are you ready for this, defiling the court. And when it comes to one of the biggest whoppers in American history, I gotta read this one and see if I can get through it. Said the two anti-constitutional traitors to everything that was once called truth, justice, and the American way, quote, "If the report is accurate, the Supreme Court is poised to inflict the greatest restriction of rights in the past 50 years, not just on women, but on all Americans," unquote. And forget, folks, the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 9th, and 10th Amendments and everything else that was once called a God-given, constitutionally protected right. They're infringing the hell out of your right to keep and bear arms. You've got no right to freedom of speech or assembly, especially when it comes to talking about a rigged election. But
come on, man.
When it comes to my body, my choice, you don't have a right to defend it. You don't have a right to protect it from being groped or raped. You don't have a right for it to breathe without a face diaper. And you sure as heck don't have a right to protect it from being injected with some poison that you now, if you've been paying attention, know darn well is intended to kill you. And you don't have a right to talk about that either. Just ask the new disinformation czar. Good grief. And the other screech owls were out in force, too. Here's another headline from Jim Hofton, the Gateway Pundit. Democrats scream and wail like demons after news breaks. SCOTUS is tossing Roe v. Wade. Another related story quotes none other than the witch herself, Hillary, who says this new decision will, quote, kill and subjugate women. And what an utter disgrace, unquote. And thus says the utter disgrace itself. Others scream things like F. Alito and F. Joe Manchin. But some of the most idiotic comments, honestly, were read off the teleprompter by the Marionette-in-Chief himself, senile, creepy, quid pro Joe Biden, referencing his disgusting career before he lost his mind, undermining the Constitution and the Bill of Rights on the Senate Judiciary Committee, which included torpedoing the confirmation of former Solicitor General Robert Bork to sit on the Supreme Court. The Biden Fuhrer said the following, quote, "It's the main reason why I work so hard to keep Robert Bork off the court. It reflects his view almost, anyway, look, the idea that it concerns me a great deal that we're going to, after 50 years, decide that a woman does not have the right to choose. Equally profound," he continued to parrot, "is the rationale used. It would mean that every other decision relating to the notion of privacy is thrown into question," unquote. Gee, folks, tell that to the little Nazi who wants to search your briefcase and check out your wife's breasts with the X-ray machine at an airport, or tap your phone, or read your texts. No warrant required. Privacy. Good grief. What a bunch of blithering, lying idiots. No, they're not really idiots, folks. They know darn well what they're doing, and they're evil to the core. It's the American people that they think are idiots, because they might even believe the crap they're peddling. And from there, we'll go on to one example of exactly what I'm talking about. One of the most satanically evil senators in a whole gaggle of them descended on the Supreme Court Tuesday, said the Daily Mail's coverage, and vented. No, actually, folks, she shrieked like a banshee, and at least they put up the video so we can tell the difference.
I am angry because we have reached the culmination of what Republicans have been fighting for, angling for, decades now, and we are going to fight back.
How dare you think you have rights from God and that the purpose of government was to secure those rights, not take them away and kill you, you slimy peons, you. Then she goes on to shriek about how this is going to impact the poor women, you know, those that we've driven into poverty with our communist policies and now have to work three jobs just to try to support themselves. those that can't even afford what we call a Saturday night special to defend themselves against the people that we've unleashed on their neighborhoods. And yeah, those that have now been raped as a result of having been disarmed and prevented from anything remotely resembling my body, my real choice. But at least really, really rich people like those who support her and, of course, Nancy Pelosi can not only fill up their fancy freezers with really expensive ice cream and have armed bodyguards, but they can get on a private jet and go anywhere they want, anytime they want, and as we've seen, they can kill people with impunity, too. And that includes you peons. You just haven't figured it out yet.
I am angry because of who will pay the price for this. It will not be wealthy women.
Like me and Nutcase Nancy and the occasional Cortex.
Wealthy women can get on an airplane.
We don't even have to sit in line and get our breasts groped at the airport like you peons. And we only wear the mask for the photo ops.
They can fly to another state. They can fly to another country. They can get the protection they need.
And don't you forget it.
This will fall on the poorest women in our country. This will fall on those who have been raped.
But if you think you've been raped already, just wait and see what they've got in store for you next.
Well, I am here because I am angry.
And how dare you think you can stop me from doing exactly what we intend to do to you peons? Now, actually, we've suffered through this up until this point because she's about to actually say something true. Shocking as that might be, and it's something that people like Dr. Ron Paul, and in fact yours truly, having heard it first from him, have been noting for years. The Constitution has always had a provision in it to deal with the abuses of the Supreme Court and the abominations like Roe v. Wade when they overstep their authority, like they have so many times for so many years, and try to make law when they actually have no legislative authority whatsoever. Read Article 1, Section 1. And simply limit their jurisdiction. Rather than making it a political football for so many years, Congress could have literally overturned Roe v. Wade decades ago simply by overriding it, limiting their jurisdiction, and saying they have no authority to say anything about abortion, or for that matter, marriage or education or any of a number of things that they stuck their nose into without authority. No, it never had to come to the place where the black robe justices had to have a litmus test, much less be ignorant of their own gender, before they could even pretend to make law for the rest of the peons. The far left has known this all along, but up until now, they would never, ever have publicly admitted it.
And I am here because the United States Congress can change all of this.
Yes, it is. Yeah!
Angry but committed. Understand this. Understand this. I have seen the world where abortion is illegal.
Where life mattered. Where people had rights. No, not from you, Elizabeth Warren, but from God. Protected once upon a time. By a limited government of specifically enumerated powers, which did not include, by the way, the authority to mandate people be injected with poisons, or have their persons, houses, papers, and effects searched without warrant, and their properties stolen. In other words, they actually had a real choice to say no to the likes of you.
And we are not going back.
Woo!
Not ever.
No.
Woo! So say it with me. We are not going back.
We are not going back.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Not ever.
Never.
Once we've taken power, once we have our hands around your throats, we're not letting go. Not ever. You know what? Don't you wish even one of these murderous spawn of Satan would get just a little bit angry? Not even remotely as angry, but just a little bit angry about the fact that they're killing tens of millions of Americans? About the fact that they want to mandate injecting you with a deadly poison that's already killed, but you won't even be allowed to find out about it until much, much later? Arguably more people than they've even already killed by their abortion, their child sacrifice to Molech? And your rights be damned? This woman is angry because she's evil. Think pedophile who's being denied access to a playground. Now, I've said this next thing several times, but I think it's so vitally important to understand, given the level of lying here, and the level of contradiction here, and the level of in-your-face, we're going to do it to you whether you like it or not, anti-constitutional gang rape of the Bill of Rights here. They rail about the only right, so far as they're concerned, that means anything at all. The right to execute kids. And no, we don't care if they're out of the womb or in the womb. You can see exactly where they're headed by what's been going on over just the last few months. Post-birth abortion? Fine. You had Tony Fauci saying, well, it's not enough. We want to kill 5-year-olds to 12-year-olds with the poison poke. Never mind that the booga-booga flu doesn't really affect them anyway. We'd rather they die of myocarditis, pericarditis, strokes, heart attacks, and, yeah, cancers too, real soon now. Besides which, we want to make sure that their immune systems are destroyed before they reach puberty and they never have any kids of their own anyway. Which brings us full circle, because that's why we're so hot to kill them any way we can. So now I'm going to ask the question, why oh why aren't Americans up in arms about what's been done to the Bill of Rights? The real one, that's actually in genuine print. Americans have been muzzled, bound, gagged, and stolen from. Their businesses and livelihoods have been taken from them, along with their right to freely travel, their right to freedom of assembly. Think January 6th has been taken from them, while they're branded as extremists for merely wanting an honest election. Imagine that. There is no free press anymore. And just ask an American serviceman, who at least once thought they were putting their lives on the line for things like the Bill of Rights, whether they have a right to freedom of worship. Yeah, like not take the poison poke. Just how many religious exemptions have been issued? You can count them on the fingers of, well, no fingers at all of either hand. In Biden's Communist People's Army. I've said this for literally years at this point. People who don't know their rights and aren't willing to fight for them don't have any. And Americans, whether they've figured it out yet or not, but this is probably the most in-your-face reminder yet, don't. Which takes me back to where I started today, with some comments from Glenn Greenwald, repeated via Zero Hedge, under the headline, The Anti-Majoritarian Check, where he exposes the radical fallacies of SCOTUS hyperbole. In other words, folks, the stuff, the BS that Americans are being fed now from those who want to continue their gang rape of the rule of law and the destruction, literally, of everything that once made this nation great. If you recall, I read the quote where Greenwald suggested that whenever there's a controversy regarding a Supreme Court ruling, it basically divides into two camps. When it violates a constitutional guarantee, the claim is something undemocratic has transpired, it's judicial tyranny, but when the court refuses to invalidate a democratically elected law, as Greenwald puts it, the claim is that it's pernicious, an attack on fundamental rights. What he doesn't mention is that, yeah, there actually are rights that were ensconced in genuine print in the Bill of Rights, and they've been gang-raping those, pretty much unimpeded, for years now. And they're well on their way, after destroying the First Amendment, to putting a final wooden stake in the second. With nary a peep from that court anyway. Still, he says, this reflexive discourse about the Supreme Court ignores what he calls its core function. Like the Constitution itself, the court is designed to be an anti-majoritarian check against the excesses of majoritarian sentiment. In other words, he doesn't say it this way, I will. The court is just one of many anti-democratic checks that the founders wisely put in the Constitution to prevent an unfettered democracy. Things like supermajorities, a bicameral House, the Bill of Rights itself, the concept of the veto, and on and on and on. The founders, he said, wanted to establish a democracy. Wrong. And I've gone through that more times than I can count. It was never intended to be a democracy, but at least he'll walk this back a bit in the rest of the claim here. They wanted, said Greenwald, a democracy that allowed the majority of citizens to choose their leaders, but they also feared that majorities might be inclined to coalesce around unjust laws that would deprive the people of basic rights, which the Declaration of Independence said came not from government, but from our Creator. So they sought to impose limits on the power of those majorities. And he doesn't say it, but I like Thomas Jefferson's quote better than the one that he used, bind them down from mischief with the chains of the Constitution. Greenwald does go on to say that the Federalist Papers are full of discussions about the dangers of what he calls majoritarian excesses, a.k.a. democracy, or as some of them actually put it, mobocracy. And Greenwald goes on to talk about the design of, yeah, he gets it right this time, the American Republic, how to balance the need to establish majority rule, at least a bit, of democracy, with the equally compelling necessity to restrain the majorities, two wolves outvoting the sheep, if you remember Franklin, from veering into impassioned, self-interested attacks on the rights of everyone else. And he then goes on to do something most of the press won't do, and that's actually read Alito's decision and notice that it really merely just takes a step back in the direction of actually enumerated powers. And that, folks, the deep state and their God will not allow. And we'll pick it up right there when we get back.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing.
Welcome back now to the second segment of the Come Out of Her, My People show for today. I'm your host, Mark Call, and we're talking today about a number of things, but they all seem to be wrapped up in this concept of freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of worship, what the Constitution actually says, what the Bill of Rights actually protected, and what's been done to it by those who literally detest this nation, they detest the rule of law, and of course, more than anything, they detest the idea that there were certain self-evident truths that the nation was founded on, that we have a creator, and that our rights come from God, not from Kamala Harris, or Joe Biden, or Barack Hussein Obama, or George Soros, or any of a whole bunch of other people who detest everything that the peons once held sacred. And you think I'm exaggerating? Just look and see what's being done, folks. And that's why I think what we're talking about this week is so important, and why in a lot of respects this leaked Supreme Court decision is potentially devastating. And the fact that it's been leaked is important, and the reason why is certainly important, but probably more important than any of that is the level of exposure that now makes it so devastatingly clear how far gone the nation is. I've said this before, and I'm going to repeat it. I think it's absolutely vital for us to understand what these people, and by that I mean the shrieking demons who are willing to lie, cheat, steal, and certainly kill you to protect the only singular, the only right that matters in post-constitutional America. There's been only one litmus test for Supreme Court justice for most of our lifetimes. How do you feel about child sacrifice? Will you defend the holy Roe versus Wade? The Moloch given right to sacrifice a child, to end a life, to end it before it even begins, as a matter of fact. It's the only right that they care about. Meanwhile, the same people that talk about rights and liberties and a woman's right to choose and my body, my choice, and I've said this for a long time because I think it's so important to point out, they don't give a damn about whether or not she can be groped or raped. They won't allow her to defend that body. It's not her choice to carry a firearm. It's not her choice to do anything that might prevent them from doing what they want to her. That includes saying no to a full body x-ray or naked body scan at an airport, to having her breasts groped or her crotch fondled or anything else that Big Brother might want to do in the name of, well, anything except your God-given rights. We can search your purse, read your emails, tap your phone. We can do anything we want to you, you slave. The only right you have is to sacrifice a child to Moloch. And let's not kid ourselves. That's why they get so shrieking mad about the whole issue. They're okay with killing them and obviously grooming them for whatever they may want to do later, too. And what I'm going to ask and what I'm going to suggest is important to think about, pray about at this point, and recognize as we see all of this play out. Yeah, I think it's more and more clear why this thing was released. The left is vitally concerned that what's been done for decades to children, to the rule of law, is now being exposed. And I'll come back to that in just a second here. I want to ask it this way. How blunt, how obvious, how deadly does what's being done have to get before people realize it's almost, may in fact be too late, but it's certainly almost too late to stop it at this point. But there's actually good news in that as well, your host will contend, because as the left gets more and more literally unhinged and shrieks about their right to continue to kill babies, both before and after birth, and having gotten away with that, now they want to kill you with a mandated poison poke, it gets ever harder for them to hide just how psychopathic they've become. Case in point, the senile marionette in chief, who may or may not really know what he's saying even when he reads it correctly off the teleprompter. After the leak came out, he tried to join in the lunacy, saying that overturning Roe v. Wade could lead to LGBT plus children. No, not being molested in classrooms. It's pretty clear by now that's what the public cesspools are for, isn't it? Not being allowed in school classrooms. Adding, and here we'll go with a quote right from the horse's mouth.
What are the next things that are going to be attacked? because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
Good grief. I'll say it, folks. What a blithering idiot. What? I guess not counting Antifa and Black Lives Matter and the Weather Underground, the SDS, the Black Panthers, or the Symbionese Liberation Army, and the Obama Youth, or even the leftist favorites, the FBI-funded KKK. How many police stations has MAGA burned down? How many people have they killed on the streets? How many arsons? How many lootings? Oh, well, they don't count that. Extremism, so far as the usurpers are concerned, means believing that people still ought to have rights from their creator, as opposed to those who are trying to take them away. Hook, line, and sinker. And even the leftist press seems to think Biden might have been a bit off his meds on that statement. After Joe Biden declared Wednesday, said Steve Watson for Summit News, that, quote, MAGA is the most extreme political organization in U.S. history, reporters began to question the White House official spokeslier, Jen Psaki. Remember, the P is silent, just like in Resident, asking whether we should expect that kind of rhetoric to continue. And she said yes. Ask CNN reporter Caitlin Collins, noting Biden's asinine remark, quote, is that what we should expect, to speak his message going into the midterms? To which Psaki responded, I'd expect you'll hear more of that rhetoric from the Biden Fuhrer over the next coming months. And here's the real thigh slapper in this one, folks. When asked a similar question by another reporter, noting that the language was, well, to put it mildly, a bit divisive, Psaki responded, I think the P resident will be, quote, judged by Americans for his actions, unquote. Huh? As if votes mattered? As if his approval rating, the lowest in American history, actually mattered? Or maybe she's actually implying he ought to end up in an orange jumpsuit, under indictment for mass murder, treason, and who knows how many other crimes against humanity. But I doubt it. What I think she's really telling us is that's what the Ministry of Truth is for. Tsarina Nina and her disinformation comrades are going to rewrite the history, and you peons won't even be allowed to contradict it. Which does bring us right back to the free speech issue and the fact that, yes, now we have, as the New York Post correctly dubbed her, Scary Poppins, this absolute satanically evil witch appointed by Biden to be the director of the Ministry of Truth, the disinformation czarina. You can't make this stuff up. The more you understand just how satanically evil, and I'm using that word a lot, I realize it, because, hey, nothing else comes close to describing it, how satanically evil this free speech ending organization, literally Orwell's Ministry of Truth, is, the more you see all of this playing together, and it makes a really consistent point. And again, the question, how obvious, how blunt, how deadly does it have to get before people wake up and realize, hey, it's been clear for a while. They want to poison you. They want it to mask you. They want it to muzzle you. They don't give a blankety blank about a woman's right to choose. She can't choose not to wear a muzzle or not take the poison poke. Neither can anybody else that wants to travel or have a job or pretty soon now buy food. You'd have to be an idiot, folks, to buy into the level of logic that they're pushing as if people are really that stupid. And I guess there must be a number of them that are, but they're the same people that think the election was fair and honest and that the vaccine is safe and effective. Good grief. All right, what I want to do here before I go to one other really bald face example of that is take a brief look at a couple of highlights of the majority opinion. This is the actual text of the draft document that was released. It's up on Politico and no doubt a lot of other places by now. The initial draft is 98 pages, again, written by Justice Samuel Alito. And what I want to do is just point to a couple of elements in there, because if there's one thing that really ought to leap off the page when you read it, especially if you have ever read Roe v. Wade and some of the other idiocy, and you see just how poorly reasoned they were, and by the way, Alito even comes out and says that, this is not only clear and complete, but overwhelmingly convincing. It starts out like this. This is page 5 of the document. We hold, he wrote, that Roe and the other case that's important in the abortion debate, Casey v. Planned Parenthood, must be overruled. The Constitution, and here he's absolutely right on, the Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, including the one on which the defenders of Roe and Casey now chiefly rely, the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. Now, isn't it funny? They only care about due process when it involves killing babies. When it comes to red flag gun laws or civil asset forfeiture, taking your stuff, or calling you a January 6th terrorist and locking you up, they could care less about due process. That provision, back to Alito, has been held to guarantee some rights that are not mentioned in the Constitution, but, and by the way, even if it is mentioned in the Constitution, like shall not be infringed or the right to freedom of assembly, say on January 6th, notice those don't apply. Anyway, that provision has been held to guarantee some rights that are not mentioned in the Constitution, but any such right must be, quote, deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition and implicit in the concept of ordered liberty. And he goes on to point out at some length, the right to abortion doesn't fall within this category. Till the latter part of the 20th century, such a right was entirely unknown in American law. Indeed, when the 14th Amendment was adopted, three-quarters of the states made abortion a crime at all stages of pregnancy. And he adds, the abortion right is also critically different from any other right that this court has held to fall within the 14th Amendment's protection of liberty. Roe's defenders characterize the abortion right as similar to the rights recognized in past decisions involving matters such as intimate sexual relations, contraception, and marriage, but abortion is fundamentally different, as both, get this, Roe and Casey acknowledge, because it destroys what those decisions called fetal life, and what the law now before us describes as an unborn human being. Stare decisis, in other words, this idea that it's already been decided, the doctrine on which Casey's controlling opinion was based, does not compel unending adherence to Roe's abuse of judicial authority. Don't you love it? They're actually coming right out, and this is the point I'm trying to make, and saying Roe was a piece of crap. And they literally almost did exactly that. Get this. I'm reading the next line. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. Its reasoning was exceptionally weak, and this decision has had damaging consequences. And far from bringing about a national settlement of the abortion issue, Roe and Casey have inflamed debate and deepened division. And if you doubt that, folks, just look at the shrieking devils that are out there now saying, we want to sacrifice children to Molech! How dare you try to stop us? And by the way, he doesn't actually come right out and say this, but Alito comes almost to every other point that has been made concerning just how flawed, to put it mildly, the Roe v. Wade decision was. He goes on to say that, look, this is what the Constitution and the rule of law demand. In other words, getting rid of these bogus decisions. And then he goes on to say, nor is this claim that Roe's based on deeply rooted in our nation's history and tradition. Literally, it's a lie, and he comes right out and says it. They even quote Blackstone and reference the common law. And then it says this, Roe was on a collision course with the Constitution from the day it was decided. And Casey perpetuated its errors, and the errors do not concern some arcane corner of the law of little importance to the American people. Rather, wielding nothing but, and here they quote the dissent in the original case from Roe, raw judicial power, the court usurped the power to address the question of profound moral and social importance that the Constitution unequivocally leaves for the people. The reason why they are having such a conniption fit about this decision, folks, is because it's so brilliantly clear and concise, and even the idiots that basically want to continue to kill babies, the Constitution be damned, and any rights that a woman may have, my body, my choice, don't matter except this one. And it's so clear, so in your face, that they can't, they literally can't have people actually reading this and understanding how long and how badly they have been deceived. Casey described himself as calling both sides of the national controversy to resolve their debate. Back to quoting Alito here. But in doing so, Casey, that's the case he's referring to, necessarily declared a winning side. Those on the losing side who sought to advance the state's interest in fetal life could no longer persuade their elected representatives to adopt policies consistent with their views. And he says the court short-circuited the democratic process by closing it to a large number of Americans who dissented in any respect from Roe. Now, isn't that interesting? By the way, isn't that exactly what they're doing? Whether it's about the Second Amendment, whether it's about anything that might be called disinformation, your right to not have the poison poke, my body, my choice. Hell no, not when it comes to a vaccine mandate. You notice that? The same damned hypocrites are pushing all kinds of mandates that say it's not your body to choose. We will mask you. We will poke you. We will starve you. We will take away your jobs. We'll take away your children. We'll do anything we darn well want to. And the only right you have is to kill kids. Back to Alito. Roe fanned into life an issue that has inflamed our national politics in general and has obscured with its smoke the selection of justices to this court, in particular ever since. And he's referring to the fact that, yeah, it's a litmus test. Unless you are a flaming nutcase and believe that Roe is right from the lips of their god, Molech in this case, you don't deserve to sit on a court. Matter of fact, we saw an idiot that was approved by the Senate last week who doesn't even know what sex she is or what sex is, evidently. The only qualifications she had were her race and her gender, and she blew it on half of that. This is something that is just beyond the pale. The court is essentially trying to say, look, we've watched what, now I'm going to paraphrase it, but the court seems to be saying, we've watched the medical profession do such stupid things that nobody with half a brain respects them anymore. Who would trust the medical profession that doesn't care about test results, that ignores actually effective drugs like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, zinc, vitamin D, and all kinds of other things that work far better than the poison poke, and instead relies on an untested thing, granted an emergency use authorization that wouldn't exist, and we're supposed to respect this profession? I can just imagine Alito thinking, yeah, they've done to the medical profession what they have tried to do to the judge, the justice, the court, and maybe they're sick and tired of that. The draft decision here goes on to say, together, Roe and Casey represent an error that cannot be allowed to stand. And then get this, it even goes on to say the quality of reasoning was also fatally flawed. And I'll just read one little piece of that one. This is great stuff, folks. Roe found that the Constitution implicitly conferred a right to obtain an abortion, but it failed to ground its decision in text, history, or precedent. In other words, they made it up. It relied on an erroneous historical narrative. It devoted great attention to and presumably relied on matters that have no bearing on the meaning of the Constitution. It disregarded a fundamental difference between the precedents on which it relied and the question before the court. It concocted an elaborate set of rules with different restrictions for each trimester of pregnancy, but did not explain how this veritable code could be teased out of anything in the Constitution, the history of abortion laws, prior precedent, or any other cited source. And its most important rule, that states cannot protect fetal life prior to viability, was never raised by any party and has never even been plausibly explained. Again, this is amazing stuff. And before we finally wrap things up for today, I want to try to connect quite a few dots with what, admittedly, is about the most damnably offensive speech I've ever heard, even from a wannabe dictator. And if you've listened here for very long, you already know that's quite a statement. You probably recall that Adolf Hitler, especially in Mein Kampf, used to advocate the big lie as part of a way to fool people with propaganda. But this goes way beyond a massive big lie and way, way beyond even massive unbelievable hypocrisy. And I'll introduce it this way. And if it's offensive, folks, well, we're just getting warmed up. This is a speech by America's premier whore. We've certainly seen women sell themselves for starring roles in movies or even corporate promotions. And we're certainly used to seeing them sell themselves for a political office. But Kamala Harris is in a class by herself. Certainly she, you know, whattered herself all the way to the top. Just ask Willie Brown and who knows how many other California communists and other non-left coast swamp creatures now too. And we've gotten more than enough indications by now that she intends to do it to America with a K as well. But unlike an honest hooker, America doesn't have any choice with her. You're going to get it whether you like it or not. And as I've pointed out before and need to reiterate here again, there's a reason for this offensive introduction to what I'm getting ready to play. A woman who not only slept her way almost to the top, and everybody who's been paying attention knows it,
has just rubbed America's noses, and yeah, every other part of their anatomy, into what she's been doing and intends to do. And on that score, let's not forget for a second that she didn't get to where she is today just by spreading her legs. Or even the more widespread and acceptable, putting her hand on a Bible and lying through her damnable teeth. She and her sugar daddy, who doesn't seem to like her any more than most of America does, literally had to lie, cheat, and steal the rest of the way into their new world dictatorship.
The actual office itself. And everybody who's been paying attention knows that, too. And as if all that wasn't bad enough, when she trotted out onto the stage to speak out loud what may just be the biggest piece of hypocritical crap in the entire history of a once great nation, wearing the mask that she and the tyrannical hypocrites who put her in place mandate that all those no longer free slaves out there wear, she'd already demonstrated what a lying hypocrite she was before she even opened her satanically evil mouth.
Let me say one other thing up front. I have no doubt that this was intended to be every bit as offensive to actual, honest, God-fearing Americans as it so obviously is. So without further ado, here's what Soros' communist witch came right out and said. Oh yeah, and it's about child sacrifice, if you hadn't already guessed that, and a woman's right to commit state-sanctioned infanticide, but not to have any other say over what's done to her body. So take your poke and wear your face diaper, damn it, while you proclaim just how free you are to do nothing and go nowhere that Big Brother doesn't approve, oh, unless it's an abortion clinic.
Women's rights in America are under attack.
Oh yeah, we're attacking your right to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of worship. For crying out loud, you know darn well you aren't going to be allowed to keep and bear arms, or even keep the things that you thought were your own property. And if we want to mask you or grope your breasts or poke you with something, and you're not going to even be allowed to know what's in it, much less tap your phone or look inside your purse, you know darn well you can't stop us.
If the court overturns Roe v. Wade, it will be a direct assault on freedom, on the fundamental right of self-determination, to which all Americans are entitled.
Well, unless you want to travel without your vaccine passport, or your face diaper, or anything else we decide to mandate, you slave you.
But let's talk about what a world without Roe looks like. Women in almost half the country could see their access to abortion severely limited.
You seen what we've done already with firearms? Well, they intend to make it almost as hard for you to get an abortion as we intend to make it for you to keep what you thought was your own gun. And let's not forget, it's going to be harder for you to get a car than an abortion, too.
Those Republican leaders who are trying to weaponize the use of the law against women,
the way we've already weaponized it against anybody that we don't want to allow to speak, and that we call domestic terrorists, or want to put in jail for merely trying to, petition their government for a redress of grievance on January the 6th. You get the idea. Oh yeah, she knows all about weaponization of the law. After all, how do you think she made her bones other than spreading her legs in California? She was a DA for arguably the biggest cesspool city in the entire United States, and after that, Attorney General for the Communist People's Republic that lends new meaning to the word American dictatorship. She's the whore and queen of lawfare, put there by, well, yeah, guess who?
Those Republican leaders who are trying to weaponize the use of the law against women. Well, we say, how dare they? How dare they tell a woman what she can do and cannot do with her own body? How dare they? How dare they try to stop her from determining her own future? How dare they try to deny women their rights and their freedoms?
That's our job, damn it, and don't you forget it.
By comparison, folks, and I'm going to say it right out loud, before it's completely verboten, and they're getting there fast, compared to America's number one whoring hypocrite of all time, Adolf Hitler at least had charm. And when it comes to big lies that are just plain inexcusably over the top, I got to ask this final thing as a question. Did Adolf Hitler ever really try to come right out and convince the Jews just how hard he was working to protect their rights and their freedoms? I guess even he knew there was a limit to the big lie.
And that's a big part of the point. There really is a limit to the big lie, and these people have gone well beyond it. And as we start to wrap up for today, I'm going to contend that's the good news here. Because this is so over the top, so idiotically in your face, yeah, you don't have any rights unless we give them to you. Your body is our choice, and we'll do with it as we want, and that includes killing it after we've disarmed it, of course. And we'll take your stuff, too, whenever we feel like it. What are you going to do, tweet about it? They intend to muzzle you and disarm you, and after that, they can do anything they want. And by now, what that means should be crystal clear.